All right, check this out. Coming up on Memorial Day weekend, first ever Cork and Jug Country Jam. Link in the show notes, corkandjugjam.com. Happy that they jumped on board and are alongside Up and Adam. Midland, listen to this, Midland and Tanya Tucker headlining. Names like The White Buffalo, Stephen Wilson Jr., Jay Jackson, Joe and Martina, all keeping the Vineyards and Rolling Hills rocking all day long at the Paso Robles Event Center. May 25th, 2 p.m., all day long. Aside from the artists on stage, indulge in a concert of tastes as the festival spotlights the art of barbecue. There's even a wine roundup downtown Paso. Lots going on. I want you to go to corkandjugjam.com for tickets. We're going to have your chance to win some from here very soon. And again, link in the show notes. May 25th, baby, Cork and Jug Jam for the country fan in you.
It's community content from Concentrate. You're Up and Adam with Adam Montiel. Some say.
Start again. Back at it. Here we go. Tuesday. Thank you so much for being Up and Adam. My name is Adam Montiel. Today on the show, excited to talk to actor Bo Bridges. Also, director Jay Silverman. They're going to be in town coming up at the beginning of next week, a little less than a week, April 29th. Their screening of Camera. Talk all about the film. It's going to be screening at the Fremont. It's a heartwarming film, Camera. Bo Bridges. Director Jay Silverman going to be on with us. We'll dive deep into the making of this inspiring story set in Morro Bay. They shot it in Morro Bay. Pretty cool. Exploring themes like hope, loss, healing. Don't miss this exclusive chat on today's Up and Adam. Looking forward to it. What else is going on? Our billboard. That it should be going up anytime. In fact, I wasn't on the road yesterday. I was kind of just resting, and it was supposed to be up the 22nd. So I'm going to go hit the road, see if it's up. They're supposed to send you a proof when it's up, but when it is up, I'm going to go out there, get the drone, take some pics. I am super stoked. The billboard will be up this week as early as, who knows, could be up now. I just don't know. Before we get into our lo-fi headlines, it's our final week with our friends at Barometer Coffee. Not just your average Joe, They are roasting with a purpose, such purpose they're taking their talents to Seattle. Premium beans sourced from communities dedicated to sustainability and family prosperity. We're talking Central South America. Premium small batch coffee roasted right here to perfection in slow for another few days. 5 unique roasts when you're feeling the pressure and you care about coffee. Check your barometer, baby. Barometer Coffee. Find them on Insta at Barometer Coffee Co. and online, barometercoffee.com, because you deserve great coffee.
Up and Adam's Slo-Fi Headlines.
All right, and a significant development for not just U.S. transportation, but certainly for Californians. The construction of a high-speed rail line connecting Vegas to L.A. has officially broke ground. This $12 billion project, spearheaded by Brightline West, marks a major step forward as the first true high-speed rail in the United States, aiming to emulate the speed and efficiency of Japan's famed Shinkansen trains with a maximum speed of 186 miles an hour. The rail line will stretch 218 miles along the median of I-15, with strategically located stations in Vegas, Victor Valley, Hesperia, Rancho Cucamonga. These stations will provide vital links to major attractions, transit systems, enhancing connectivity across the whole region. The initiative expected to be operational by 2028, coinciding with LA hosting the Summer Olympics, this time is especially ambitious. So on one end, you have all this optimism surrounding the new Las Vegas to LA high-speed rail. It really emerges against the backdrop of just a very troubled history with such projects, where billions of dollars have already been spent with little to nothing to show. The initial California high-speed rail project, approved in 2008 by voters, long time ago, was envisioned to connect LA to San Francisco. It was supposed to be done by 2020, originally estimated at a $33 billion price tag. The cost projections have spiraled to $100 billion just to connect the initial cities, which was like in the valley. What was it, like Modesto to Bakersfield or something? With an astounding $128 billion needed to complete a full network, I'm not even sure they've even laid track yet. The series of financial missteps has been exacerbated by a lack of transparency from the outset. We talked about this with the homeless issue a week or so ago. The California Legislative Analyst's Office criticized the early business plans for lacking crucial details such as train capacity, funding sources, which might have influenced the voters' decision differently. Well, you get what you vote for, right? Moreover, projections of ridership have since dropped by 25%, further dampening the project's feasibility amid declining public transit use and stagnant population growth in the state. Not even just stagnant growth, it's going the other way. Remember, a couple years ago, in 2022, more than 800,000 people moved out of California. You subtract the number of people who moved in, we still lost 350,000 residents. So a lot of people kind of watching with a little side eye. The stark contrast between initial promises and the current reality paints a picture of a high-speed rail initiative that has become a financial quagmire, making the launch of this new Vegas to LA line a critical juncture for proving the viability of high-speed rail in the U.S. under some fraught circumstances. Fingers, toes, whatever you got, cross them. All right, Earth Day was yesterday. There are a ton of things that we can and should do to help the planet, especially in light of Earth Day yesterday. But what's something so easy we should literally all be doing it by now? This article broke down three things. Pretty good. Easy stuff. Easy peasy. One, stop wasting leftovers. It'll save you money. Two, just make it a personal rule. If you buy food, eat it. It also takes a lot of water and resources to grow all those vegetables you buy and just let rot. Number two, stop overusing napkins at home. This is a huge source of waste. You really need more than one to get through a meal. Well, maybe if they're paper towels or they're just crappy napkins, you might. Are you that bad at eating? It seems like no one uses cloth napkins at home anymore. They're wildly more sustainable. I like them because one napkin lasts you the whole meal. A paper towel, unless it's that real expensive Viva. No, we use cloth napkins all the time and they work. They're great. Got a little wicker basket. Put them in when you're done. Wash them. They're good to go. So that's a great tip. Finally, reusable grocery bags. Stop telling the checkout person, oh, I forgot them at home. They don't believe you. Don't pretend you really reuse all those plastic bags you got balled up and little knots in your pantry. It's not that hard to remember once it's a habit. Leave some in your car. They'll always be there. It might seem like these little things don't even make a dent, but if we all did them, it might. It just might. It's also a great place to start. So why not? And finally, we talked to Robert Cool Bell of Cool and the Gang last week. Great convo. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, go back and check it out. But I bring you good news. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2024 was announced. There are 16 inductees in the performers category. We got Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Ozzy Osbourne, A Tribe Called Quest, and yeah. Cool and the Gang. Let's go. Great job. Jimmy Buffett and Dionne Warwick are being recognized for musical excellence. Same with MC5 and one of Motown's creators, Norman Whitfield. Big Mama Thornton will be inducted in the musical influence category along with British blues musicians Alexis Corner and John Mayo. The induction ceremony will take place October 19th in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is located. It will stream live on Disney+. It'll then be available on Hulu to stream the next day, and we'll get a special broadcast on ABC at a later date. Congrats to Cool and the Gang. Before we get into our chat with Jay Silverman and actor Bo Bridges, I want to thank our friends at the General Store, Paso, offering local goods, hand-picked gifts, a curated cookbook selection, and all the best for your pantry and home. The team at the General Store Paso can also help you pull any gift for anyone. They are that good. It's almost like a parlor trick. You go in there, tell them what you want to spend, who you're buying it for. They will walk you around and show you what's up. Connecting people with dozens of local makers, it is what they're about. Celebrating almost 11 years. I can't wait in just a matter of days to tell you that it has been 11 years on the park. Downtown Paso, open daily 11 to 6 and 10 to 6 on weekends. Find them on Instagram. At General Store Paso.
Up in Adams, Lo-Fi Headlines.
All right, today's episode, truly special, joined by two remarkable talents from the film industry. First up, the legendary Bo Bridges, an actor whose versatility and depth have graced our screens for decades. Along with them, we're thrilled to welcome the visionary director, Jay Silverman, whose keen eye behind the lens has brought us some truly captivating stories. Their latest collaboration, called Camera, is a touching film that tells a poignant tale of a young boy's journey through loss and healing in a quaint fishing town shot right here in Morro Bay, baby. The film not only highlights the beauty of our local scenery, but also casts a spotlight on the power of unexpected friendships and the redemptive magic of art. So let's dive right in. Learn more about the making of this film, the inspiring stories behind it, how you can have a chance to meet Jay and Beau Bridges, because this film will be screened less than a week from now at the Fremont Theater, part of the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. Join me in giving a warm welcome to Beau Bridges and Jay Silverman. Gentlemen, thank you for being up and at 'em. So, Beau, it's great to have you on, man. Can you start just by sharing what initially drew you to the role in camera?
Well, for me, the most important element of any project that I attach to is the script, the story itself. I think that's my main draw. And Jay and his partner wrote a wonderful script, and I wanted to be part of it.
Jay, that's got to feel good, man. I mean, the film really touches deeply on themes of, you know, loss, hope, healing. What was it about this story that made you decide it was the right project and Beau and just getting it all, you know, dialed in?
I think what's super exciting for me as a filmmaker and also the guy that greenlit this project, I mean, from the standpoint of a story to tell, I think most every filmmaker usually finds a personal aspect of the story. I was a photographer for 35 years in my career. You know, it is deeply important to have subject matter that I can relate to. And this is really a deeply personal story. So that caught my eye, and it actually pushed this project in front of another project because it was so fulfilling.
Now, talk about Oscar. Talk about the story behind camera.
It's interesting. The screenwriter originally we picked this project up from a screenwriter that's from Ireland. And it was a very Irish story, and it was modified. The biggest, I think, thrill for me was it was about a young boy who used his camera as a communication tool, especially because of his inability to be able to speak. And that was something really pivotal for me, because his disability in the movie is identical to one of my daughters who was born premature, and they damaged her vocal cords at birth. So Oscar is a child that overcomes that unfortunate disability and uses this camera to communicate. And it becomes, you know, kind of the pivotal point of the whole story, because Beau's character, Eric, enables him to tap into utilizing a camera that he never had any clue how to use because it was broken.
Wow.
I think the young man who portrays Oscar, Miguel Gabriel, gives it an incredible performance, especially for a young guy his age. He really filled it up, and it's challenging, you know, to enact a character that doesn't speak, because you have to communicate so much just with your heart and soul, and he really filled it up.
Now, Beau, camera premiering right here at the San Luis Obispo Film Festival. How does it feel to showcase the film in a place like Morro Bay where the film was actually shot?
Well, I love that whole area. I really do. I mean, in fact, I just got back from there. I was up in the area tasting wine and hanging out with my wife. Morro Bay has always been one of my favorite places, and it's a real character in the movie, too, the fishing village where it takes place, and Morro Bay fills that up for us.
Jay, what do you think about the area? Do you call it Morro Bay in the film?
No, interestingly enough, I went all over. I went to Canada. I went to Nova Scotia. I went to the eastern coast of the United States looking for the perfect fishing village. And little did I know, right in my own backyard was Morro Bay. It's called Jasper's Cove in the movie. And subsequently, it served, you know, a magnificent set piece for where the movie takes place.
How do you take an area like this, albeit small, not completely well-known all over the place, but nonetheless very distinguishable? I mean, a lot of folks know just when they see that rock, like, oh, Morro Rock, but turn it into like this fictional place, Jasper's Cove, dealing with some of the things around it, the stacks. Do we weave that in, or how do you go about that?
You know what's interesting about this is the crew was made up of predominantly people that live in Los Angeles, and the actors predominantly live in Los Angeles. And you'd be surprised how many people didn't even know Morro Bay existed. I'm not joking.
That's true.
It's a little gem that I think is featured in the movie in a way that I feel couldn't have been. I mean, we could not find anything close to that in Ireland. So it is quite an extraordinary thing because, interestingly enough, and I'm going to share this to your audience, because it was one of the biggest challenges physically of making this movie, is there's no way we could have afforded to make an independent film and shoot the entire movie in Morro Bay. So we ended up shooting on a back lot in Santa Clarita that, ironically, is the same mountain range that's in Morro Bay. So there is physical continuity, and probably most people wouldn't even know it.
I love that. That's so cool. But let me ask you, working with a young and, you know, somewhat inexperienced actor like Miguel, your co-star who plays Oscar, what was that dynamic like on set? And echoing what Jay said a second ago about one who in their performance is not saying anything.
Well, first of all, it's always a pleasure to work with young people because what we really do as actors is play, right? So when you have a young person in there, that's a gift that they bring readily to the equation. They want to play. And Miguel was no different. He kind of contributed a lightness to the whole experience. Just a wonderful young man. And the fact that he couldn't speak, I just used to tease him all the time, and he didn't have to learn any lines.
You know, one of the most intriguing things, being a filmmaker that envelops at a shoot, and, you know, this wasn't my first rodeo, I have to say, is to watch Bo and watch Miguel. The vibe, the community that they created was so special because, number one, this young boy really passionately studied for the role. You know, it is just not my doing that this kid comes out on screen as being so incredibly prepared visually and storytelling wise, because he just really is a one of a kind. So we really lucked out, and I'll be candid with you. When I watch the movie now, I see the little nuances of him communicating with Bo, and I could see for somebody that's a 9-year-old in the movie, that's a pretty extraordinary gift.
You know, it's another gift when you talk about some of these movies that really play up the kind of intergenerational dynamics, whether it's something like, you know, from a Karate Kid to a Gran Torino, when you talk about these, the intergenerational friendships, that really plays a huge role in camera. What do you feel and hope that audiences take away?
You know, to me, I really enjoy movies that are about family. And that's really what our story is. It's about family, but it comes at you from kind of a different point of view, because one of the characters, my character, has no family. He's lost his family. And for that reason, he's a bit of a lost soul in the beginning. He's not connected.
Yeah, I have to say this. I mean, one of the things that Bo and I hit off right at the beginning when he started developing this project and adding his personal compliments to the project, we both realized we wouldn't be here without mentors ourselves. And that was a big motivating factor, because if people can walk out of the theater, and especially people that are young and people that are elderly, and see the connectivity. I mean, I was fortunate enough to have a mentor when I was in high school, and I know John Wooden was a mentor for Bo. You know, this is the world that I grew up in, and giving back at an age where, you know, there's a purpose, and you see the purpose, you know, formulate in front of your own eyes is an extraordinary thing for a filmmaker to want to deliver. That was my goal.
Jay, can you talk about any challenges or memorable moments that you took from filming in Morro Bay?
Funny you asked that question, because Morro Bay is notorious for anybody that's tried to capture Morro Rock will tell you that they better have their fingers crossed, because it could be covered in fog.
Right.
It seems like from the get-go on this movie that we had the absolute magnificent weather anybody could have ever dreamed of, but simultaneously it didn't occur till perhaps an hour before we started shooting. It would be raining, it would be fog, even, you know, even under the best scenario, it was the worst conditions of unexpected weather, because we wanted clear skies and we sometimes didn't get it, but it all worked out to be magical. So that was a big part of it. If it wasn't for the mayor, and I will say this to you wholeheartedly, none of this would have materialized, because your good mayor was fortunately somebody that we spoke to towards the end of our endeavor. And if it wasn't for her, we probably would have gone elsewhere.
Carla, that's awesome. Carla Wixom.
And that's a huge deal, because filmmakers, I got to be candid with you, you know, there are so many obstacles to overcome when you go to a location. Morro Bay and the citizens were just magnificent. So we really, really are very fortunate.
I love to hear that. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, the people here really are just incredible all over the Central Coast, as I'm sure you've learned. Bo, let me ask you, the Q&A for a film like this, what are you hoping to share back and forth with the audience at the film fest after we screen the movie?
Yeah, it's always really exciting to sit in a theater and watch the story that you've been part of unfold on screen in front of people, so you can hear the audience reacting instead of sitting in a dark room watching it by yourself or with just a couple of friends. And so I'm looking forward to that. And then to be able to have the ability to actually connect with them and talk to them about the experience that they had watching it is fantastic. I love that.
We had no idea what was going to transpire when we screened the movie Morro Bay at the Bay Theater. We had not one, but two entire shows sold out, which all the money went to the charity of, I think, the local high school. It couldn't have been more fulfilling, because giving back is, I think, really all what Bo and I want to do. We want to make the world a better place.
Oh, let me ask you this. Bo, what are some of the favorite wineries that you like when you're up here?
You know, one that I just discovered this last trip was Sculptera. You know that one?
Sure. Very familiar. Absolutely.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I wanted to just mention one thing to you, Adam. You know, I was fortunate enough to participate, I believe, a few years back in a not a few, maybe 3 years back, a film that we made there called Girl on the Edge. And we were lucky enough to have Peter Bogdanovich give us the award. And, you know, I felt, and I know this is a podcast that is global, but I know that is San Luis Obispo is a one of a kind. So the festival is extraordinary. And that's why we're thrilled to be a part of it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, the Sky and her team at the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival work incredibly hard. And I think that would just, you know, touch them and everyone there, the whole team there, to hear what you said and to hear both of your sentiments about not just, you know, visiting and working here and shooting here, but then being able to celebrate your movie here with this community. I loved hearing that story about the theater being sold out, and you guys are going to be doing a Q&A for this one. It goes down on April 29th. You can go to slowfilmfest.org and get the latest. Jay Silverman, Bo Bridges. I got you both here. What a treat this is. I can't thank you both gentlemen enough for your time and your interest and love for this community. Let's not spread the love too much. We got to keep this somewhat of a secret, but I thank you guys being up and at 'em.
Yeah, well, it's fun talking to you, Adam. Thanks for getting on with us.
Thank you so much, Adam. I'm very grateful.
All right, all the links you need in the show notes to check out the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival and that film right there titled Camera. And after our conversation, I was really excited to be asked to do the Q&A. So I will be hosting that Q&A now. It's on Monday, April 29th at the Fremont Theater. Go to slowfilmfest.org for more. Again, link in the show notes. All right, this is a jam-packed week. Moving stories from local cancer survivors. I have former Russian spies, writers for Rolling Stone magazine, writer from the LA Times hosting a podcast about corruption, We have so many interesting, whether it's heartwarming or gripping or fascinating, a lot of really interesting personalities and stories to tell this week on the show. Thank you so much for connecting with us here. Anything you could do as far as rating, reviewing, subscribing to the show, even if you just share it with a friend, it really helps so much and it means so much. Brand new episode of Where Wine Takes You, my podcast with Paso Wine. It's an even more extended version of a conversation that you heard a little bit of it here with Tyler Florence of, just Tyler Florence. I mean, yeah, I feel like saying Tyler Florence of the Food Network doesn't even encapsulate, it truly doesn't, what he is all about. He is his own brand. It's incredible. He's going to be up here for Paso Wine Fest. It's called Masters of Fire. It is a live chef fire competition. We're going to get some of those chefs on the show too. But it's a different conversation than you heard on Up and Adam. So I'd love for you to get to Where Wine Takes You. It's available wherever you get, wherever you're listening to this, you can listen to that. Also, another episode of The Pour will debut this week. With everything going on, I really wanted to put it out last week. And then I don't really want the Paso Robles podcast and The Pour. I don't want to give you two things to listen to in 1 week. So I'm really trying to space them out. The Tyler Florence was a special episode of Where Wine Takes You. So I wanted to let that kind of sizzle and do its thing. So I really hope you go listen to it whenever you can. Tyler Florence, it's a really great conversation. We get into some stuff. It's a long form convo. He's fantastic. It was great. Also, a new episode of The Pour coming up this week. We mentioned earlier in the show, our billboard is going to be going up. Can't wait for the news on that to actually drop. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. It's supposed to go up this week. It's on the 22nd. That was Monday. So we could know anytime now. Before we bounce out of here, let me thank our friends at Window Coverings by Design, our newest supporter here on Up and Adam. We're talking modern, high-end, quality. Window Coverings by Design, free in-home design consultation, almost 10 years of local experience. I really love Monique and their team. They simplify the process, serving both San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties, and they got it all. The designer who will get you dialed in and can customize anything you dream up, on-staff general contractor to get the job done right the first time. No hassle, no stress, which means you will appreciate the real art, style, and expression through window design. Call them today for that free in-home consultation, 805-316-1177. That's 805-316-1177. And visit bydesignslow.com. Window Coverings by Design. Your windows, your style. Also, I don't know the last time you tasted up at Thou. I know we are in for another date to go up there because it is just beautiful. Not only do you take in some great wines, but you take in just some great scenery. The people are good to you too. Wine's fantastic. And really, you might see their wines in the stores, but not until you go up there, you taste the wines you can only get once you're up on the hill. Incredible. Members now tasting an exclusive Edna Valley Pinot Noir. Don't miss out on the chance to join the Thou membership. Enjoy the newest wines at special member pricing. Plus, you're in for all those events. Cheers to great wine and great company. Join them, thouvineyards.com. I hope your week's going good. Hope you have a great rest of your day. My name is Adam Montiel, and I appreciate you more than you know for being Up and Adam.
Start again. Let's start again. We'll start again.